Well, joining me on Fresh Air is singer and pianist Nina Simone, who has moved back to Philadelphia, where she also lived and studied when she was younger, a teenager, I believe. Nina Simone was a piano prodigy. She studied at Curtis and at Juilliard, supported in part by a fund that was set up exclusively to support her studies. She's lived in self-exile from America for a few years. Some of her time was spent in Switzerland and Africa. To celebrate her return to Philly, there will be a concert this Sunday evening in Philadelphia at the Locust Street Theater, at the Locust Theater. The performances will be at 7 and 10 Sunday evening, and the number for more information about this concert is 224-4700. Well, before we meet Nina Simone, I'd like to play a selection from her most recent album on the CTI record label. The album is called Baltimore, and the selection we're going to hear is called That's All I Want From You.
A little love slowly grows and grows, not one that comes and goes. That's all I want from you. A sunny day with hopes up to the skies, not a day that comes and dies. That's all I want from you. Don't let me down, or show me that you care. Remember when you give, you also get your share. Don't let me down, I have no time to wait. Tomorrow might not come. Dreamers dream too late. A little love slowly grows and grows, not one that comes and goes. That's all I want from you. A sunny day with hopes up to the sky, not one that comes and dies. That's all I want from you. Don't let me down, or show me that you care. Remember when you give, you also get your share. Don't let me down, tomorrow might not come, and dreamers dream too late. A little love slowly grows and grows, not one that comes and goes. That's all I want from you.
Nina Simone from her most recent album, which is called Baltimore. The song was called That's All I Want From You. Nina Simone is my guest in the studio, and she'll be performing in Philadelphia this Sunday evening. Nina, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
There's an interesting story that I'd like you to tell for us about how you first started singing, because I understand that before you began singing, you were a pianist. You'd studied here at the Curtis Institute, studied at Juilliard in New York.
Yeah, and then what happened was the money for the fund that had brought me here ran out. See, the people from North Carolina all got together and had a Eunice Wayman fund, which sent me to...
Eunice Wayman was your name before Nina Simone was.
And then when it gave out, there was no more money to... When they rejected me here at Curtis, formally, I was no more money to help my family. So I started teaching. And then somebody told me about a club down in Atlantic City. That is what we were talking about, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And I went down there for the money and made $90 a week. It's the most I'd ever seen in my life. I think this is the little story that you wanted, isn't it? How the switch off. yeah, I had to work. I was giving lessons then too, just before I went to where is that place? Atlantic City. And that's how I got started in show business. They call it, it's a far cry from the classical world. And I didn't know whether I'd liked it or not. I went in a three-tiered gown one night into this Irish bar. And they thought I was really eccentric because I just didn't know what to do. And the second night he asked me to sing, and I said, I'll sing.
What did you think of the music life that you started to live then? I spoke with Nancy Wilson recently, and she said, well, when I became a singer, I knew I didn't want to have the kind of tragic jazz life that I'd seen so many singers live. There were only certain kinds of clubs I'd want to play. What did you think of the life of jazz singers at that time?
At that time? Nothing. I didn't know anybody. I came straight out of the church and from classical training into this mess. So I hardly knew anybody in show business, let alone that lifestyle. I didn't even consider it show business at first. I thought it was a place to play my classical music and make a little bit of money on the side for doing it so my mom and dad could live easily. So I didn't know it was this gigantic, terribly complex, terribly rip-off kind of existence. I did not know anything about that. At the same time, I used to drink milk at the bar because I didn't drink liquor. I never saw liquor in my life. So that that added to my eccentricities down there in Atlantic City. Let me just close it by saying I hope to get another job down there this summer.
But this time you wouldn't wear the three-tiered gown?
I certainly would. I would play like the woodwalk, like the furniture. I'd be part of the furniture, probably. I'm ready to do that, as long as they pay enough.
We're going to be hearing a selection from the first album that you ever recorded, and we'll be hearing I Loves You, Porgy.
You're going to play Bethlehem?
Yeah. Mm. Can you recall for us that session, what it was
of
like
course.
The first time you recorded?
Well, it was natural to me. It was more professional than I had seen up until then. I was first of all, I've always been a professional. So I was happy to see that we could record with professionals. And I never expected anything else. That's why I got thrown by Baltimore. It was the first time I'd seen worms come out of the woodwork who did not know how to do anything. And it was left up to me to do it. I hadn't seen it in 20 years. I'd never seen it in show business. So what they had in show business, as I say, was easy for me to do. And I loved the professionalism of the people. RCA, Columbia Pictures, and Philips, particularly those three, treated me like gold. And so I felt always at home with them. I could pick my own arranger, my own producer, and that was marvelous. I didn't have any weird trips, you would say. Not until that one.
Which is your most recent one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, before we hear one of your first records, I just want to know if you ever listen back to these, if you have copies of your records, and if
oh,
you
yes.
listen to them frequently.
Oh, yes, all the time. To see how much I've grown, to see how much I haven't grown, to be in touch with myself as to what I'm putting out there. I listen to them all the time. I'd be most interested in hearing this one. I hope you at least give me the record. Or the poster. I mean, this or the back of it. What
the
do you
jacket,
call it?
The jacket.
Why? Because you could keep the record. But the thing is, this is a pirate album.
Let me explain what this is. You're talking about a newly reissued
of Silk and Soul
album. Yeah, that's called
Which I know
Silk
anything
Soul.
About it. So I'm trying to collect all of these albums so that when we do sue, we have proof there.
Well, we'll talk about that in a couple of minutes. But let's hear this. Record of I Loves You, Porgy, and this is from Nina Simone's first recording session, which was back in 1959. We'll hear her on vocals and piano.
I love you, Porgy, don't let him take me. Don't let him handle me and drive me mad. If you can keep me, I wanna stay with you forever, and I'll be glad. Yes, I love you, Porgy. Don't let him take me. Don't let him handle me with his hot hands. If you can keep me, I want to stay here with you forever. I've got my man. Let him handle me and drive me mad. If you can keep me, I wanna stay here with you forever. I've got my man. Someday I know he's coming to call me. He's going to handle me and hold me so. It's going to be like dying, Poggy, when he calls me. But when he comes, I know I'll have to go. I love you, Porgy. Don't let him take me. Honey, don't let him handle me and drive me mad. If you can keep me, I want to stay here with you forever. I've got my man.
That was Nina Simone on her first recorded session back in 1959. The song was I Loves You, Porgy. Nina Simone is my guest in the studio. She's living in Philadelphia now, and she'll be performing in Philadelphia this Sunday evening, which will be at the Locust Theater. There'll be two shows at 7 and at 10.
Let me interrupt you, dear. I'm living in Philadelphia, but just temporarily. It's kind of a long stay, but I haven't made my residence in Philadelphia. No, my base is in Africa and Switzerland, and I want to keep it that way. I'm just here for an extended amount of time, small amount of time. If it gets any different, I'll let you know.
Okay. What precipitated you leaving the country and seeking residence?
Racism in America. Absolutely. Absolutely. I was one of those children who should never have seen it, let alone been affected by it. No, that they had me for the last time when I left here.
When you live in Africa, do you feel any cultural differences since...
I only feel them when I get back here. A culture shock, I'm always back here, but finish your question there.
I was wondering if it's a culture shock at all to be in Africa since you did grow up in America.
Not for me, because I have an African mentality. So I was at home. I felt completely at home from the day I went down there. It's only here that I don't take walks and do the things that I want to do because I'm feeling so depressed most of the time. In Africa... You walk the streets, the whole thing is alive, and I'm with all black people, Not that that's too important, but it's wonderful to be with a whole gang of 40 million black people and feel at ease without the various games that are played in the United States, without the tremendous pressure of the United States down your back, or the feeling that you're colored and they're white, and that keeps going on subliminally. I think that's the right word. And then even inside all the people I find here. So it only makes sense that when I open my big mouth and talk things like this, I got to be coming from somewhere else.
You've been gone for about 6 years. When you returned to America, did you feel that any progress had been made?
No.
What do you think of Switzerland, where you've also lived?
Oh, I still live there. It's wonderful. It's peaceful. And nobody steals anything. Nobody, where I live, they don't even lock the door. It's the most peaceful place I've ever known. And it gets inside you. Because you cannot stand then excess noise. Once you've been to Switzerland long enough, you cannot stand it. You cannot stand people. You know, all the noise around and the pollution? You can't, because Switzerland has rare air. It's really true. It has rare air. And it's the smallest country in the world. So it's some reason that they're surviving the way they do. People have jokingly called it a clinic, the whole place. But Switzerland, the air alone keeps you... Switzerland is sane, first of all. And the way they live, the simple way they live, even though they've got all the money in the world, they don't live ostentatiously at all. They live very simple lives. They're sophisticated farmers. But what you get from them is a sense of peace. Not death, peace. And it can be had right in this life. And that's one of the reasons I'm crazy about it. When you go to sleep over at Switzerland and know you don't have to wake up for a while, it is marvelous to wake up and feel that you haven't done anything wrong. What I mean is, in this country, you're always told that you have to work, work. It's just the opposite there. They tell you you must rest. And they mean it. And they support you doing it. Especially entertainers whom they love very much. Whatever they need, they get.
You know, I'd like to play a record that I know from many years ago when I was growing up in New York on WLIB, which is at that time a jazz station. One of the hosts of the evening jazz show used to use this record as their theme, and it's written by Billy Taylor, whose Jazz Alive program we broadcast every Saturday night here on WUHY. The song is I Wish I Knew What It Would Be Like to Be Free.
Yeah, I put that song on the map for him, and he's yet to say thank you. That's true. Nobody recorded it but me. I was the first one. I heard a tune that Billy was playing one night at 52nd Street. And I said, what is that tune? And he says, this is the name of it. I said, get it to me as soon as you can. He wrote it down. He wrote all the words down and sent it to me. That's how it got recorded. But I was the first one. And it would be nice to see Billy again sometime and reminisce about what has happened to that song.
Mm-hmm. He's been doing a lot of very good things.
Oh?
For jazz. He hosts the Jazz Live program on National Public Radio.
He does?
Yeah.
Where is that, in New York?
Well, it's all broadcast all around the country. We broadcast it here in Philadelphia. I'm sure it's broadcast on one of the public stations
in
New York.
What's the name of it?
It's called Jazz Alive. Well, let's listen to this recording of I Wish I Knew. Do you want to recall the session for us at all before we hear it?
What session?
You recorded this. Do you have any recollections? Okay, let's just hear it. This is Nina Simone, I Wish I Knew What It Would Be Like to Be Free, and the music is written by Billy Taylor.
Keep us apart. I wish what it means to be me, then you'd see and agree that every man should be free. I wish I could give all I'm longing to give. I wish I could live like I'm longing.
That was Nina Simone singing I Wish I Knew What It Would Be Like to Be Free. The song was written by Billy Taylor, the host of Jazz Alive on National Public Radio. Nina Simone is my guest. Nina, you were telling me that you are writing an autobiography.
Yes, I'm writing it with a friend of mine here. And we've just started, but it's about 3 months into it. And I hope that we get to finish it while I'm here. I'm writing it with a woman from Enquirer. We just started on it, but we're about 3 months into it. I have no name to give you, except that it's going to be wonderful, wonderful anecdotes and lots of happiness in that book. I'm not interested in dealing in any kind of sadness. And when I get it out, or when it's a little bit more advanced, I'll let you know more about it.
You're doing a
keep
concert.
Keep your ears open, fellas and girls. Keep your ears open, and please come to see my concert Sunday.
What can we expect from you on Sunday night? What kind of songs will you be singing?
Well, I'm going to try to please the bulk of my, where is it? Of my my public, and they all always want to hear Four Women, Young, Gifted, and Black, that's him over there, Forbidden Fruit, Exactly Like You, all standards from the old records. They can't seem to get away from it. That's what they like. They also like Baltimore, but not half as much as the ones I have just told you about.
What are your favorites of your recordings?
That's All I Want From You, Young, Gifted, and Black, Everything Must Change, and there's something called Consummation, which I made many years ago. And Nimikitpa, you know it?
No. That's
that's my favorite. Philadelphia has never even heard me sing this French, and I can't seem to get that album with it on, but it's my favorite number in this world. Jacques Brel passed from us last year, you know, and he's the one I got it from. So Paris loves it. I don't think they know where to back it here in Philly. You don't, do you? Nimikitpa?
Yeah, no, Jacques Brel.
Yeah. Well, Nina Simone, I want to thank you very much for joining us this afternoon on Fresh Air. I wish you luck with your concert on Sunday. I hope you enjoy your residency in Philadelphia during the time that you're here. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.